Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to get your Bible, get your notepad, get a pen. We're getting ready to complete our teaching along the lines of doctrine. We've been teaching for the last several lessons on doctrine. The word doctrine simply means teaching. And as a subtopic, we're using correct doctrine. It is very important that we are taught correct doctrine. Doctrine in the church is a very touchy subject, but guess what? We can't allow it to be so touchy that we don't touch it. We have to touch it because the Bible teaches us that we have to have correct doctrine if we want to make it in. And Satan knows how important doctrine is because the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So he knows doctrine is very important, so he'll try to make the saints shy away from dealing with doctrine. And I'm here to say that we as ministers have to step up to the plate, and we have to deal with every doctrine in the church. We have to look at it and examine it by the Holy Spirit and by the holy canon of scripture. And if something don't line up with the scriptures, glory to God, we need to kick the devil out the church, because the devil wants the church to go to hell, amen, and we're trying to get it to heaven. So in order to do that, we're going to cause the people of God to know the truth. Jesus said in St. John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Glory to God. The Bible says in St. John chapter 5, verse 39, that we are to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus was the scriptures incarnated, and then he told the leaders to search the scriptures. In other words, Jesus says, search me. Glory to God. Because he is the scriptures. So we need to search these scriptures, and we need to make sure we have eternal life, and we are teaching the people to gain eternal life. Amen. By doing it right, according to the Bible. So we're going to use as a text, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to kind of take up what we left off. I have several scriptures we want to look at regarding doctrine. Look at what Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Here's his instruction to a young minister called Timothy to the church that he was over. Amen. And ultimately to every church. Here's what he said. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now look at this instruction. And we cannot just read this and pass it up. We need to know exactly what Paul is talking about. We know that Jesus Christ was the only one that could die on a cross and save us. So what in the world this apostle talking about? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's why we're teaching on doctrine today, because we're going to break it down, show you that once a person is saved, glory to God, once a person gives his life to Jesus Christ and he's born again, the Bible says that it's the man's spirit that's born again. Glory to God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is that man's spirit. The spirit is the only thing that's born again in that initial salvation experience. But the Bible says in Proverbs 20 verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now notice the scripture did not say that the spirit of man is the man. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now I want you to go check it out, look at it closely, and I'll give you a confirming verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I want you to look at it very closely and let's see what the scripture is saying. We don't need to assume the scripture is saying something. We need to know what the scripture is saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now, I want to take my time and break that scripture down because the Bible said man is a soul. And look at what this scripture say. What man? Man is a soul. What man knoweth the things of a man save or except the spirit of man which is in him. This scripture is telling you the spirit is different from the man. The spirit is the judge. The spirit is the conscience. The spirit is the knower that God placed in the man. The man is a soul. Man is a soul. He possesses a spirit and he lives in a body. Now, there's no way around the scriptures. We can keep teaching the doctrines we've learned in the past, and it's going to always have a slant in it, or we can take the slant out and teach it the way the Bible teaches it. Glory to God. Man is a soul. And the Bible said the spirit of the man is what knows the man, indicating that the spirit is not the man. Now, let's go back and look at what Paul said again. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself. You know who the thyself is? The thyself is the soul. The thyself is the person. Man is a soul. So when he said, take heed unto thyself, he's talking about take heed unto your soul. Amen. The soul is preserved to be saved in the end. The soul is not glorified yet. The soul is not finished yet. The Bible said a soul is in the process of being born again. The spirit has been born again. Now, this is the scripture. This is the word of God. And if we're going to understand salvation from the way God see it, then we're going to have to get the scriptures right. We're going to have to get them right, line upon line, precept upon precept. So Paul is simply telling Timothy that you've received the Spirit of God, you've been baptized, you're born again, but now your soul got to make it. If your soul going to make it, your soul going to have to adhere to the Word of God all the way to the end. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37 through the last verse is talking about. It says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe all the way to the saving of the soul. What do you think the scripture is saying? The soul have to walk in the word of God all the way to the end, and then at the end, God will finish the soul. He'll cause it to be glorified. But right now, the soul has just been preserved. The Bible says in Titus 3 and verse 5, it says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us how we got saved. The day you gave your life to Jesus Christ and the Spirit entered into you, here is how the salvation experience worked. The salvation experience caused you to be regenerated. The word regeneration means birth. The only thing that was given a birth was the man's spirit. And the Bible clearly says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He did not say the spirit of man was the man. The man himself is a soul. So the spirit was given a regeneration, and the Bible said something was washed and something was renewed. I submit to you, according to the word, the teachings of the word of God, that it was the soul and the body. Both of them was washed, both of them was renewed, and both of them was sanctified the day you got saved. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the day you was born again, everything was new. And that's the explanation of the newness that took place in your life that day. But the soul and the body was not birthed or born. It was just washed and renewed. It is still natural. Your spirit is supernatural. Your spirit is divine. Your spirit is made one with God. Your spirit is perfect and cannot sin. We have a study God to take you further in those things, but for the sake of time, we want to stick with the teaching for the day. But nevertheless, Paul is talking about causing the saints, as well as Timothy and everyone he's teaching, to adhere to the word of God. Keep your soul clean. Amen. Because the Bible teaches us that we are to see to it that you purify your souls in obeying the truth. Until we understand the program of the word of God and keeping the soul right all the way to the end, we're going to have some trouble trying to live the Christian life. Now, the soul, I might add, is far bigger than the mind, the will, and emotion. Popular teaching has taught us that the soul is just the mind, the will, and emotion. But the soul is the person. The soul contains the mind, the will, and emotion. Jesus taught that the himself is a soul. And I know we don't want to contradict Jesus' teaching. So look at St. Luke chapter 9, verse 25. Jesus said, what do it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? The himself there is the soul. And the cast away, he's talking about casting away a man's soul. It's the same thing that he said in St. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 down to verse 36. The word interpret the word. The Bible says that the whosoever, the himself, the his life, all of that is the soul. Read those verses and read it good. He is talking about a man's soul. When the soul has been preserved and sanctified, you need to walk in sanctification. You need to keep it clean by adhering to the word of God, obeying the word of God, according to James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, to be a hearer and a doer of the word that you're taught. That's how you keep your soul. That's how you save your soul. Now, Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. What was Peter talking about? Peter was talking about the salvation of the soul. These apostles knew that the soul was on somewhat a different program. It's one great plan of redemption, one great salvation plan. It is administered in three different areas, which is spirit, soul, and body, in three different ways, so to speak. The body will be redeemed at the last trump. The Bible said at the last trump, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So we know that the body is not finished yet, but the body was sanctified the day you were saved. The body was washed the day you were saved. And according to Colossians, there was a circumcision of the flesh where he took sin out. He took the sin nature out of the body, and he sanctified it and he made it holy. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 3 show that we were by nature the children of wrath. You don't have a sin nature anymore. So salvation is complete, but we haven't received the complete manifestation of everything, because the complete manifestation of the soul won't take place to the end. The complete manifestation of the body won't take place to the last trumpet blow. So that's exactly what we're talking about. So these apostles knew what they were saying when they made these statements. We just got to understand it by the Spirit of God. So they are in agreement. So when Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost, he did not just stop it with verse 37 through verse 39 teaching salvation. No, he went on to teach them with many other words, and he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. After you've been born again, now your soul need to be preserved. Now you need to save yourself from this untoward generation, and the way you do that is that you walk in the word of God for the rest of your life. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. You have to walk in the word of God. You have to obey the word of God for the rest of your life if you want to be saved in the end. It is very important that you walk in the word. Glory to God. Read Romans chapter 4 verse 3 and read James chapter 2 verse 19 through 24 and read Philippians 2 and verse 12. All of these verses show you that just your simple childlike faith in Christ is not enough. It is your simple childlike faith in Christ and your simple childlike obedience to Christ. It takes both of them to save you now and in the end. You have to walk in the word of God. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. If we say we abide in him, we ought to walk even as he walked. Now, let's look at some scriptures regarding doctrine. Doctrine is so important. And like I said earlier, the enemy don't want us to touch doctrine. The enemy want to keep us so touchy with regarding doctrine that he don't want us to discuss it. And even if we start discussing it, then he'll cause someone to get irritated and someone to get mad. You know why? Because most of the doctrine he has inspired in the church. But the Bible says in James chapter 3, that any doctrine and any wisdom and any truth that comes from above, it is first of all pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits. If you have learned something and you can't be entreated and you get upset if somebody try to come to you and challenge it, or either try to add something to it or try to take you further, then something wrong with that doctrine. If you can't learn anything else, and if you get mad because somebody touch on something you believe, then it could be a spirit behind it, because that is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is peaceable. The Spirit of God is pure. The Spirit of God is easy to be entreated. And if we have the truth, then guess what? Truth cannot be destroyed. Hallelujah. So Put your doctrine on trial and don't be afraid to deal with it, because the devil knows that if we stand back and never deal with doctrine, then he could send a lot of people to hell behind false doctrine. That's why Jesus prophesied and said, narrow is the way that lead to life and few there be that find it. Then he said, broad is the way that lead to destruction and many there be which go in thereat. So let's finish up this teaching today. I want to read several scriptures to you regarding doctrine. Glory to God. Now look at Isaiah chapter 28. We need to know what the Bible has to say about doctrine. We need correct doctrine. After you're saved, you need to walk in truth. But if you walk in a lie, you can't expect God to honor a lie. We want God to honor the truths. And in order for God to honor it, you're going to have to be taught the truth properly. Glory to God. Isaiah 28 verse 9. Look at what it said. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? God wants you to understand doctrine. God wants us in the church to deal with doctrine. God wants us preachers to be able to sit down and reason together and deal in doctrine. Why? Because our responsibility is to make sure that the church is getting good doctrine. Amen. The Bible said we ought to give attendance to reading and to doctrine. So we cannot get around doctrine. And I know doctrine has separated the body more than anything, but it's going to be the doctrine of the scriptures that unite us. So we need to come back and deal with doctrine. So the Bible said, who shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk. We're going to have to get off the milk. We're going to have to get away from sensitive things. We're going to have to get away from being irritable. And we're going to have to come back and examine the doctrine that we have taught to people and examine the things that we have put into people, because some of the people are still on milk. Some of the people are tired of milk. And now we got to move on to the mind and the heart of God, the depth of God. Hallelujah. So in order to do that, you're going to have to be weaned from the milk, drawn from the bread. The Bible said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So God wants his people to understand doctrine. And if that's so, and it is, then the fivefold ministry have to come to a place to where we realize we have to discuss doctrine. We have to examine our doctrine. We have to make sure that what we're now teaching and what we've been taught is in line with the scriptures. And if we are afraid to do that, then fear comes from the enemy. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So we're going to have to deal with doctrine, and we need to make sure that the body of Christ has been given correct doctrine, because it is our responsibility to raise them up, amen, so that there be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's so many wind of doctrines now floating in the church, glory to God, such as the sin nature. That's a doctrine, and that the Bible don't agree with the sin nature, that a Christian still have a sin nature. And we need to examine the word of God, and we need to make sure that this is God talking to the church, or if it's the enemy trying to insert a doctrine in the church. And I'm telling you, it's the enemy inserting these doctrines in the church in this last hour. There's a doctrine in the church about how grace is so powerful that you can't sin your salvation away. In other words, you can sin all you want, grace still covers you. That is a lie. The Bible said the true grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So any teaching that suggests grace is something else opposed to living righteous, then according to the scriptures, that's not the true grace of God. So we got to examine all of these doctrines, these winds of doctrine that's floating in the church, and we ministers, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, have to stand up and be defenders of the faith and be contenders for the faith and be able to protect the sheep. The Bible said that we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that is the job of the true five office ministry. So we got to rise in this hour and say, look, let's sit down and reason together, because God wants his people to have correct doctrine. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and 2. My doctrine shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. God's ready for his doctrine to fall upon his people, the tender herb, the young sheep. Amen. They need to know the truth of the word of God if they are to be saved correctly, and if they are to stay saved all the way to Jesus come. They're going to have to be taught properly. And the only way we can do that is to make sure that they have correct doctrine. Look at Isaiah 29 and verse 24. We're just reading some scriptures regarding doctrine, correct doctrine. I want to show you the passion of God regarding doctrine. And if this is God's passion, there's no way we can shy away from it. We need to come back and make sure the correct doctrine is in our churches. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah 29 verse 24, it says, they also that err in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. They need to learn doctrine. Some peoples have gotten an error because they didn't know correct doctrine. The Bible says that if you get an error, you can lose your soul. James 5 verse 19 through 20. 2 John verse 1 and verse 9 and 10. It shows that if you get an error, you can lose your soul. The Bible is very clear. I want you to read Matthew 16 verse 6 and verse 12. Notice how Jesus warned the apostles of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then he came back and explained that he wasn't talking about leaven, real leaven. He was talking about false teaching, false doctrine. And Jesus said, beware of the false teachings of the leadership that is not in line with God's heart and God's mind. It is the minister's responsibility to take the word of God and make sure it is given to the saints correctly. Look at St. Mark chapter 1 verse 22. Look at St. Mark chapter 12 verse 38. Jesus gave a warning and he said, beware of false teaching. It is very important that we make sure everything we teach is correct, line upon line, precept upon precept. Everything that we have taught is correct, line upon line, precept upon precept. Everything that's coming forth in the body of Christ in this hour, that it's correct, that it can fit the entire canon. And if anything don't match the entire canon, you got to have a fivefold ministry standing, watching over the sheep, glory to God, watching over the body of Christ, saying, no, this is not God. Amen. So that's why we're dealing with doctrine. Doctrine is so important and we need to be taught correctly. Glory to God. There's some other scriptures. I want to go to Romans. Let's look at some in the book of Romans. There's other scriptures all over the Bible that we need to be aware of. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 17, what the Bible says about doctrine. Correct doctrine is very important, and all believers have the responsibility to search the scriptures for themselves, according to John 5 and 39, and you're supposed to test every spirit, because the Bible says many false prophets are going out into the world. Every sheep, every believer, everyone in the body of Christ supposed to be checking their leaders, checking their religion, checking their churches. Why am I teaching this? Because the time is near. Redemption is drawing near. Now we need to be accurate in scripture, and the only way you're going to be accurate is to do what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, try every spirit, see whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And as I've taught many times before, and as I teach now, that the way you test these spirits and test these doctrines and test this teachings, all the teachings that's coming forth now, is by the Holy Ghost that live within you, according to 1 John 2:27, and the holy canon of scripture, because the Bible says in St. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, the spirit will guide you into all truth. And the Bible said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And in Acts chapter 17 verse 11, the Bible said they checked Paul. Amen. And the Bible called him noble for checking the apostle Paul. So you are noble to check this message out. You are noble to check your leader out. You are noble to check your church out. You are noble to check out your religion, because the Bible said we need to search the scriptures, because in them we think we have eternal life. We think we're going to heaven. Amen. So if you really want to make it to heaven, Jesus is saying, make sure your belief is lined up with this word. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible said, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. The apostles delivered the doctrine, the correct teaching to the church, and we have to embrace their doctrine. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, the Bible said, they that gladly received the word continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Those early apostles who wrote the scriptures, and the apostle Paul They establish the mind and the heart of God. And God is simply saying through the scriptures that we got to make sure all of our believing, all of our trust is in the correct doctrine of the scriptures. You can't stop sinning if you don't have the right doctrine. There are many people in the body of Christ don't even think you can live without sinning. They believe, and there's all kinds of doctrine that says since we human, nobody can walk without sin. But that's not what the Bible teach. That's not the doctrine of the mind of God. That's not what God taught the saints. Men taught that. Demons inspired that. But the Bible said that when you adhere to the doctrine of the scriptures, then you are no longer the servant of sin. I want you to go verify this, Romans 6 and verse 17. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy 1, and we're going to go to verse 3. All these scriptures talks about doctrine, and it lets us know how important doctrine is to God. So we can't shy away from doctrine. We got to face it head on, and we got to look doctrine straight in the eye. We got to look at everything we teach in our churches, everything we've been teaching in our churches, and we got to make sure it lines up with the word of God. And if the leadership won't do it, then the people in the church ought to make sure they begin to check out every single thing you have in your bylaws and every single thing you claim you have and what we believe. You need to go check it out, line up on line, precept upon precept, because your soul hang in the balance. Glory to God. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. God is concerned about no other doctrine being taught to the saints other than what he has taught them. There are several scriptures that God is concerned about in the Bible regarding doctrine. I want to encourage you. Go read 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, Hebrews 6 verse 1 and verse 2. All of these scriptures talks about doctrine. 2 John 1 and verse 9, 2 John 1 and verse 10. This is God's mind and this is God's heart. And this is why Paul said, continue in the doctrine, and in doing this, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. This is why Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Why? Because your soul needs to be established in the truth of the word of God. If you have a lie, you'll believe it in your soul. And if you have a lie you're dependent upon and trying to live, that lie can take you out of here. You need the truth. God wants you to have the truth. God is concerned about doctrine. We can no longer sit around and say that we're not going to deal with anybody's doctrine. No, we need to deal with everybody's doctrine. You need to check out my doctrine. I need to check out your doctrine. We need to compare it with the doctrine of the scriptures. And if the scriptures don't support our doctrine, guess what? We need to drive it out the church, drive it out of our life, because we need truth in this hour. We need to walk in the truth. Jesus said, St. John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we need to embrace Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and walk in the truth for the rest of our lives. Just because you've given your life to Jesus don't mean you guarantee to make it in if you're not living these scriptures. The Bible says, St. John chapter 10, verse 35, the scripture cannot be broken. Glory to God. Go look at St. John chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Glory to God. Read St. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Go look at St. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of God. So we're talking about walking and living in correct teaching, which is correct doctrine. God bless you. For more free teaching, you can go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. If you want to call, you can call 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. We meet Sunday at 11 a.m. at 1158 North Little John Drive right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.